Today, the RBA's wild ride as rates remain on hold. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis. Well, that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, the RBA left its cash rate at 4.35% on Tuesday, as expected. That's marking more than a year at that level. The rate-setting board said some of the upside risks to inflation appear to have eased and scrapped a long-standing line that it wasn't ruling anything in or out on policy. Australia's central bank said it's gaining some confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards target, prompting traders to boost bets on interest rate cuts starting as early as February next year.
So as you know, today the board decided to leave the cash rate unchanged at 4.35%. It's been at that level since November last year. But because monetary policy operates with a lag, we think we need to be careful, think carefully about where we're going. With inflation coming down and employment growing, we think we remain on the narrow path. The board's been trying to bring inflation back to target in a reasonable time frame while preserving the gains in the labour market. But underlying inflation currently remains too high.
That said, with the CPI up 16% over the last 3 years and the real cost of living much higher for households, this will be seen as a further dampener on household spending and confidence. Other reports recently have highlighted the pressures on households that I discussed yesterday. The Australian dollar fell as much as 0.9%, and policy-sensitive two-year government bond yields dropped following the statement. Swaps traders boosted bets on a February easing to almost 70% from 50% the previous day, with contracts now fully pricing in two rate reductions in May, although Michelle Bullock did highlight the fact that markets moved around.
Market reaction to GDP report and after today's statement as well. So now there are expectations for two rate cuts by May. You had previously tried to guide the market, like to push out the interest rate cuts, right, from November of this year. Do you think the current reaction is an overreaction to GDP data and your statement, or do you kind of like are comfortable with how market is reacting?
The markets do move around, and they move around in response to things we say, because it's giving them information about how we might react. And they also react to data, as you point out, because they look at the data and they think, well, how will the Reserve Bank Act react to those data? So they do move around, and in the past they've reacted in ways that perhaps they were misreading the way we were thinking about things, or I'd like to think that we are being clearer about our reaction function and the way we're thinking about things. I don't want to endorse a particular market path or anything like that, but am I surprised that the market has reacted? No, I'm not, because that is what they're going to do. They're going to look at the data, they're going to look at things we say, and they're going to try and figure out what they think we might do. But I'm not going to endorse any sort of path.
She also said that the board wanted to convey that it had noticed the weakness in the private sector of the economy and an improving balance between supply and demand. And she added that while core inflation was still too high, it is moving in the right direction. Recent economic data has been mixed, and some indicators are softening in line with our forecast, she told a press conference after the decision. This has given the board some confidence that inflationary pressures are declining, but risks remain. Deutsche Bank said that it was bringing forward its forecast for a first cut in February from May following the central bank's dovish tilt. The RBA, of course, has been an outlier among central banks this year, standing pat while counterparts like the Federal Reserve embarked on an easing cycle. Australia didn't go as restrictive on policy as most peers, and as a result, it's taking longer for core prices to return to the RBA's 2-3% target. In addition, of course, government spending, particularly in the public sector, is much stronger in Australia, and that is also being a dynamo to continuing higher inflation for longer. Bullock did touch on this in the press conference, although, of course, continue to hedge your bets. Economists and markets have been looking for a turn away from the central bank's rigid concerns about inflation trajectory after recent weak data. The statement accompanying the decision made an ambiguous shift in the dovish direction, said Gareth Aird, who's the head of Australian economics at CBA. The governor's tone at the press conference was very much consistent with the shift in message conveyed in the statement. But of course, CBA has been consistently calling the cuts coming sooner than they did. Bullock was asked by a reporter whether the board considered lowering rates at today's meeting.
Just to be clear, did the RBA board consider a case for lowering interest rates during this recent meeting, or was it still only one main case you were looking at? And secondly, with next week the government's mid-year economic and fiscal outlook landing, possibly the last budget adjustment in the current term of the government, do you still think government spending is, quote, not the main game, as I think you said in August, or is now the time for spending restraint if there's to be an interest rate cut early in 2025?
So the first question, the answer is no, we did not explicitly consider an interest rate cut, or the reverse, I should add. We looked at what we, similar to last meeting actually, we looked at what we have found out since the previous meeting and asked the question whether or not we felt that the current stance of policy was appropriate. Like the previous meeting, the board spent time talking about what are the sorts of things that would make them move one direction or the other. So those are the sorts of things we talked about at the previous press conference and in the minutes. It's to do with the real economy side of things that might give us a feel for demand. It's about inflation itself. So that's really where the board discussion went. I've forgotten your second question now. What was it again?
About whether public spending or public demand
spending,
was the main
game. That's right. What's happening at the moment, and I think everyone knows this, is that the private sector is very weak and the public sector is filling a bit of a gap there. With that configuration, we see, our forecasts see, inflation coming back down. So there is a sense in which just looking at public expenditure by itself doesn't really tell you the full story of what's going on in the Australian economy. You've got to look at what's going on with particularly consumption, which is a very large part of the economy, and it, as we know, is not growing particularly well. It's subdued. We are expecting it to pick up, and there are some signs in November, October, November, that it has picked up a little bit. So that's really, I think, where the action is. I think the public sector is there, and it's public consumption is actually doing very good things at the moment. I mean, it is contributing to services that Australians consume, things like health and aged care and those sorts of things. So it's serving a very good purpose. But where I think the action's going to be is what happens in the private sector.
Just 6 weeks ago, you talked about remaining vigilant to upside risk to inflation. Could you elaborate on what data in the last 6 weeks have given you confidence that inflationary pressures are declining in line with your recent forecast? And question number two, if I'm allowed, please, could you describe a scenario in which you would cut the cash rate in February?
In the second answer, no. I couldn't describe such a scenario. I don't actually know, because there's many configurations of data that might potentially lead us in that direction, but I honestly don't know if we're going to be cutting in February. We're going to be looking at the data and be data-driven. The sorts of things that we're looking at, the national accounts obviously was quite important. Momentum there probably wasn't quite as strong as we thought it could have been. We have observed that the WPI came a little bit lower than we thought it might be. Our forecasts for inflation broadly are coming in line with our forecasts. And I think I've said this before, that we have these central forecasts, they have big bands around them. But as you move closer, and if you sort of broadly, if you hit one of your forecasts, then you think, okay, well, how am I looking now for my next one? So as you get closer and closer, you do get a little bit more confident in your forecast. So I think what we're observing, at least on the wages and the activity side of things, because remember the point about we've been making for some time is that aggregate demand has to grow more slowly because we've got to close the output gap. And so we are observing that it is happening. We are observing that it's not only slowing as we thought it might, but it's slowing maybe a little bit more, and that's positive for inflationary pressures. Now, will that play out? We're just going to have to wait and see. But those are the sorts of things we're looking at that are giving us a little more confidence that we're coming in on our forecast path, the narrow path.
Thank you so much for your time. Amelia Brace from Seven News. No Christmas joy for mortgage holders, but will it be a happy new year? We've got Valentine's Day in February, Mother's Day in May, the gift of a rate cut. Will we get one next year at all?
I wouldn't like to forecast when. All I'd say is that we are watching the data. We think things so far are moving in line with our forecasts, and if they continue to move in line with our forecasts, then at some point, inflation, we're going to be convinced that inflation is coming back to the band and we'll be in a position to consider that. I couldn't give timing on it, but that's the way we would typically think about. Now, having said that, if things don't work out as planned and inflation does not continue to decline, then we've got another problem because, as I said earlier, if we don't get inflation down, ultimately that is bad for everyone. It's not just bad for mortgage holders, it's bad for them, but it's bad for everyone.
Looking ahead, there are some signals the economy has begun to pick up this quarter, led by consumer spending. The labour market also remains a bright spot. Figures due later this week are expected to show unemployment nudged higher to 4.2% in November from 4.1% in the prior month. The RBA's forecast is for the jobless rate to end the year at 4.3%, but peak at 4.5% in late 2025. The lag effect. The dovish tilt on Tuesday's policy statement keeps the government's hopes alive of policy easing ahead of an election due within the next 6 months, but it's quite unlikely, in my view, that that will come through. Bullitt was also asked about the new Monetary Policy Committee due to be established in March after the passage of the amendments to the RBA Act just last week. The governor said that together with the Treasury Secretary and an unnamed independent director, she had made recommendations on potential new members to Treasurer Jim Chalmers. Bullock says she was relatively agnostic on whether unattributed votes by the new board should be published and whether they should deliver public speeches. She said she would like to consult with its members once they're in place. Asked what she had made of the new arrangements in her first full year of press conferences, the governor said it had been quite a bit of a wild ride for me. And more broadly, that's true for consumers too. These higher interest rates are definitely continuing to bear down, and the government spending, as I highlighted earlier, is tending to keep inflation higher for longer. So the ride ahead will be very wild, and I'm not sure that we are going to see that February rate cut, but it's still possible because, of course, there's a whole bunch of data coming between now and the next decision in February. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.